Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Quinn and Chris are ready to go. However, there's no Chris today. Chris traveling with the Lady Aztecs leaves just me and Scraby here today. Short show. Actually, a fantastic Thursday night football matchup. Bengals, Ravens. You know it's fantastic because I actually remembered who was playing. I never remember who's playing on Thursday nights, but a game like this certainly makes it a little bit easier. And with you guys up to 4:30 before that matchup takes place. Scraby, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm actually just looking into the camera right now, and it's showing how messy my hair is in the back, and I don't really like that right now.
Can't tell. So, I mean, so if that makes you feel any better,
I
can't tell.
Thank you. Yeah, everything's going well. I did have an incident before I came to work today.
What kind of incident are we talking about?
I believe I'm a hero.
Wait, time out. That's a really weird way to word that.
Maybe not a hero.
You
maybe
believe that you're a hero.
Maybe that was a little too much.
Okay.
But I walk outside. I'm getting ready to go to work. I am putting stuff in my car. And I look over, and there are two policemen, like, searching for something in the yard of the next-door neighbor. And so I went over there, and I just said, hey, guys, how's it going? What's going on? And they're like, we got a call that there's someone in the yards. And I was like, oh, okay, you want me to go help? And they're like, no, you don't need to help. So you know what I did anyway, Tony? I went back to my house. I searched the yard, and then I came out to the police, and I told them, there's no one in my yard. You don't need to go in there. And they're like, we weren't going to go in there anyway. You didn't need to check anything. But I tried to get in there, Tony. to get in there.
What possessed you to go outside? They weren't even in your yard.
No, they're next door neighbor's yard.
And you
That's
just,
a little... You see a bunch of police officers walking around the backyard?
Let me finish. I understand you going out there. But what then possessed you to assume that they were then going to come into your backyard?
Oh, they're in the neighbor's yard. They couldn't find the people that they were looking for. The call said that there were people in yards, going in between yards. And I have Lucky, who
yes,
is vicious. I have another dog we call Kelly.
I don't think Lucky would be considered vicious.
He can be if he wants to be.
Okay.
Kelly actually was, you know, a rescue dog who had to fend for herself before she got rescued, so she definitely can handle her own. The police didn't like me, though. They were like...
Because you were probably interrupting their investigation, but you're non-help.
I did help. I went in the backyard. I cleared the backyard, Tony.
Yeah, let's move on from your police... What do you want to call that?
Intervention.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Dan says, where does the word hero come into this?
That's what I'm trying to figure.
I secured,
where is the hero part?
I took it upon myself to secure the backyard.
Yeah, no, you did it. You did a good job, Scrape. Kirk Kenny will join us here in the 2 o'clock hour. We got a Daily Gambit. We got a Big Five. It'll be a little bit earlier. We got a Chris versus the Fan, a.k.a. Tony versus the Fans. We got Gwen and Chris's NFL Pick'em. Chris looking to try to get back in the game. All right, right after we went off the air last night, Kevin Acey decided to release a nice story via the Union Tribune talking about some of the very same things we talked about yesterday with, you know, basically saying we could only go so far without any type of information. And so in terms of payroll of the Padres, and it looks like at this point when Kevin wrote this article, there are a bunch of different things in play here. And so just reading you a couple excerpts out of the article, this starts with the question, can you afford not to spend more money?
Oh, that was my question.
This year. Well, that's what I'm saying. This is coming from you in terms of that. Dodgers are hard to keep up with, obviously. They seemingly already have a leg up on the next Japanese star coming
out.
Yeah. And, you know, they have the resources. We know that. There's been talks of them involved in Soto. There's been a bunch of different things going on. I mean, they're moving Mookie Betts back to infield. So that opens up an outfield spot that they're now looking for. How does that look? You know they've been in on Willie Adames as well. So you got all of that that the Dodgers can do. And what do the Padres have to do in order to not necessarily spend with them, but keep the keep up with the additions in terms of putting a good team out there? Have to, based on what we saw last year? Because I recall a lot of the same conversation in 2023 going into 2024. Dodgers went out, signed over a billion.
Shohei was 700 and Yamamoto was 325.
Over $1 billion worth of free agency. And the Padres were still their toughest opponent all year long. They beat up on them during the regular season and couldn't quite close the deal in that DS series. But I say that to say everybody thought that gap was so large last year, and as it turned out, that gap really was no gap between those two teams.
No, but I'll say something Padres fans are going to hate, and I feel like next year Yamamoto is going to be really good. I feel like
what is this, a gut?
He picked it up at the end of the season when they needed him to pitch well. That has to be a confidence boost for him, pitching well in the World Series, pitching well in the NLDS against the Padres and forward. And if they do go out and get Roki Sasaki, I mean, I don't really truly want to say it's unfair, but I'm feeling like it's bordering on a point where it's the playing field in baseball is not even close to being the same for a lot of teams. And I don't know how you could go into the season.
Woe is me.
Without, I knew you were going to say something like that, but I don't know how you can go into the season without at least picking up. Unfortunately, you're going to have to pick up high priced players.
I don't think I think that's not true. You don't
I can
have
understand
to
why
go
you say
out.
That.
I mean, yeah, I hope you understand.
You can't just stand pat.
I didn't say anything about standing pat.
I'm freaking out already.
I just said that it doesn't mean you got to go out and spend a boatload of money. They spent $1 million on Profar last year. They spent league minimum on Donovan Solano. They spent league minimum on David Peralta. So, I mean, like, you can't tell me that you can't make your team better. Not
You're
saying
right.
that the high-priced guys don't come in and can make an immediate impact, but there is no guarantee. Based on the current contracts and projected salaries for arbitration-eligible players, the Padres' payroll commitment for 2025 already exceeds $200 million. That's some
Crazy.
Of those increases that Chris was talking about at the beginning of the year. They are also projected to be pushing up against a competitive balance tax threshold. A team CBT, competitive balance tax threshold, payroll is not calculated until the end of the season. There are numerous avenues for the Padres to lower that number, which they anticipate doing. That came out of the Kevin Acey article. So,
I didn't know that, by the way.
What's that?
That the CBT isn't calculated until the end of the season.
Right.
I thought it was like, it makes sense because you have many different changes to your roster over the entire season. But right, anyway. Right.
And so they plan to be underneath that, it sounds like. Those totals, of course, do not account for adding at least one starting pitcher and either re-signing or replacing free agent Jerickson Profar, among other necessary additions. Excuse me. Preller and others in the organization maintain the Padres will continue to spend at a level that allows them to build a perennial championship contender. That is the part that's probably most important.
Yeah.
Because as you saw with AJ having to cut payroll last year, he still put out perhaps the best team he's had since in his tenure here in terms of depth and how it was put together.
Let me amend my statement.
Oh, we're
about,
amending already.
Let me
All
amend
right.
my statement.
Go ahead, amend.
About how you have to spend to. AJ Preller's a master at trades, and you can find a lot of value for a very low price in trades. I just don't. I mean, and this is not a complaint, but I don't know how many players are getting the interest of other teams out there, because the farm system kind of took a hit last year with all the trades being made. I don't worry about it, but that is a way that you can make a competitive team for cheap, is finding those players.
Yeah.
Specific needs.
Without a doubt. As it pertains to Ha-Sung Kim, the underrated infielder, generating lots of buzz, it appears, at the GM meetings. According to the source, Kim has already generated lots of interest in the early days of free agency, while a second source said the Giants are focused on signing the 29-year-old. The Brewers have been connected to Kim, but the Giants appear to be the club interested in the infielder. Now, we've seen, at least I've seen this coming for a little bit, not to say that that is definitely what's happened, but in terms of things that play in the Giants' favor, to bring a free agent in, Ha-Sung Kim has to be at the top of that list.
Yeah, I have sources up in the Bay Area. I have at least one source that I has told me that the Giants are pushing real hard for Ha-Sung Kim, to the point where they're going to maybe possibly overpay for him.
I have a feeling that that is coming from Bob Melvin himself, who loved Ha-Sung Kim in his time here.
Bob Melvin's not my source, but
I assume that much. I know he asked about him quite a bit in his couple of times here in San Diego, not necessarily directly to me, but to other guys, asking how he was doing, da-da-da-da.
Oh, he's and, keeping tabs.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's Jungle Lee is
best friend or his in-law?
Brother-in-law?
Yeah.
I think so. So, I mean, all of that's playing into the Giants' favor. Doesn't mean they'll close the deal. Now, I think it's interesting. This is the first offseason that Buster Posey is at the helm. He's already shown off his prowess in being able to secure Chapman when it seemed like there was no conversation happening there. And, you know, that's a little bit different philosophy, it seems like, than what they had when Farhat was running the show there.
Yeah, I think the players will want to talk to Buster Posey over Farhan. I mean, I think that's a huge thing for the Giants, to be able to woo players into coming to their organization. And Ha-Sung Kim's, I also read some stuff about him not possibly being ready to go until May or June. So you have to deal with that too if you're going to sign him. And it just seems like a lot to overcome for the Padres to spend a bunch of money on him.
Yeah. It does seem like it could be the writing kind of appears to be on the wall. We'll see, though. It did go on to say in that article that Eric Kassenda and Eric Grubner and A.J. Preller will meet. They'll get an idea of what that number is, and he'll have, A.J. Preller, will have a pretty good understanding of what the number looks like and what he has to operate with at that point. So the GM meetings, as we heard from Russ, is a lot about groundwork, setting a kind of a foundation of what deals can be made, who's out there, the type of free agents that are going to fit your list, if that's the route you're going to go. So they'll have this time. Then they'll move into December, where you have the winter meetings, where, I mean, based on a lot of the conversation, the buzz that seems to be going out, I would expect at this point there should be a pretty exciting winter meetings, with a lot of moves.
Movement.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be exciting. I mean, last year, winter meetings is when Juan Soto got traded. I'm assuming that's the best time for everyone because they're all there.
Yeah.
And they can just sit in a room instead of having to be on the phone or something.
Yeah, they get a little bit of alcohols involved, I'm sure, too, as well. As
oh, that would be perfect out. For me. I would just pretend like I was drinking, and then they would get drunk, and then I would swindle a trade.
You fleece them on a deal?
Yeah, I'll fleece them. I'll be like, hey, you give me Adley Rutschman, I will give you Luis Campusano.
Let's get to break. On the other side, Aztecs get a win in their home opener, and it wasn't pretty. They had to come back and do some work. And Chris kind of alluded to it yesterday. He thought it would be a close game. It was indeed. We'll talk about it on the other side. Short show here today. It's just myself and Matthew Scraby here on Gwen and Chris.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Aztecs get their first victory of the season, a little closer, you know, than I would have liked, but a win's a win, ultimately.
I honestly figured this was going to be kind of the result.
Remember, the Aztecs had to come back and win this matchup last year.
Yeah.
On a last second field goal. But this one, the Aztecs led pretty much all game. It was just close. And give the Tritons credit, man. They played well. They struggled. We saw the stifling defense from the Aztecs in the first half. They really made it difficult on the Tritons. As my Chris got the hand signal from my camera.
There you go. Sorry.
18% in the first half. The Aztecs defense was stifling. But they got it going in the second half, especially from three. They shot 66% in that second half, and that kept them right there in that ball game. But on the Aztec side, I got to tell you, we knew they're shorthanded right now. And who would be the person that kind of stepped up? And we had him on our show. Was it last year we had him on our show? Miles Bird?
Yeah.
So last year we had him on the show, and you just got the sense he's a very confident kid. And watching him play, seems like he wants the ball in his hands. He had a really good game last night, led the way scoring-wise for the Aztecs. He had 20. Nick Boyd, the transfer from FAU, also looked good. Those two pretty much led the minutes played.
Mm-hmm.
But Dutch spread it out. I mean, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys got minutes. I would say 9 of those guys got, you know, pretty good minutes in that ball game. So, you know, this is kind of the fill-out process, trying to figure out what lineups work well, what lineups don't.
I guess he was, Dutcher was forced, this is from Mark Ziegler, but forced to go to a a smaller lineup later in the game. He was trying to go bigs, but he couldn't because
they were getting hot from three.
Yeah. And here's some of the prodigious SDSU streaks that were intact after last night's win. 39 straight wins against Big West schools, 18 straight wins in openers against unranked opponents, 15 straight wins in home openers, 15-0 all-time against UCSD. So those are some big numbers. But their schedule coming up is not great. I mean, in terms of it's tough.
It is. But this is how you're going to find out what your team is made of early.
They play Gonzaga. Their next four games are Gonzaga, who just beat Baylor, number 8, by 38 points. Creighton, who scored 99 points. Oregon, who received AP votes. And then one more power conference school once they play this tournament in Las Vegas. So it's not going to be easy.
Nope. No one ever said it would be. The funny thing is, you know, for those who may not know, when you get a team like that to come out and play at your building, there's usually a payday involved. Yeah. In the same way that there is in football. You know, you'll see like a Miami playing, you know, Directional State University.
Kennesaw State.
And they're getting broke off to come basically get their brains beat.
To pay for their trip almost.
And so you know it's not a good look if you end up losing that game. The Aztecs paid UCSD $80,000 to come play this game. Now, that pales in comparison to maybe like what it is in football, but either way, $80,000 is $80,000. You don't want to be paying somebody to come beat you in your own yard. It was nice to see Aztec get that first one. Listening to Coach Dutch, or reading Coach Dutch's quotes after the game, you know, he when you're making these schedules, you think to yourself, you'll never schedule that team again. And then all of a sudden, the dates line up, and you know, he made a point that UCSD has given them a good matchup. Remember, Aztecs were down, I think, 14 last year before they came back and won that game. So either way, good start for the Aztecs to get off to moving in the right direction. And for those who got to see the game,
it was on the Mountain West Network.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. They don't have that on YouTube TV yet.
No, I think you can go online and you can watch it for free most of the time. But the one thing I saw from one of our favorite guys, Jay Billis, I've been trying to get him on the show, but he's obviously busy with the start of the college basketball season.
He ranked 68. Is that what you're about to talk about?
No, he ranked 60th.
No, he ranked 68 teams.
Oh, he ranked 68 teams, but he ranked the Aztecs at number 60, which seems very low. I saw many Mountain West teams above
Boise
them.
Boise State was ahead of
Utah
them.
State Utah was State ahead was ahead of
New
them.
New Mexico was ahead of them. I think those teams all have more returners coming back. I think that's what it's got to be.
Everybody
but 60
overlooks
was a,
them.
It was a little jarring. I mean, you know, for as much as the Aztecs have arrived here and we recognize them as a program, I don't know that that is fully embedded yet everywhere.
Yeah.
Or it could just be simply that the Aztecs roster is as such that we just don't know what you're going to get yet.
That is true. I mean, you definitely don't know what you're going to get.
You lost some pretty substantial
Lamont Butler,
players. Yeah.
You lost Jaden Ledee. You lost a lot of guys that were leaders last year. But what Dutch does great and his coaching staff is he brings in a just as good team every single year. So that's why it surprises me when people kind of overlook the fact that Brian Dutcher knows how to bring in players and get transfers. That's why he's really good at that. He's very good at doing that.
Yeah. Reading Miles Bird's quotes, he said, we see it as a league game, honestly. We came in today, and on the whiteboard in the locker room, it says, winning is hard. We know that. I was on the bench. I saw the energy UCSD brought last year in the arena, in their arena. You know, they were going to come into this game confident. We prepared hard. We respected them. And the Aztecs get a nice win. I was very impressed by Miles Bird. Redshirt sophomore, I believe. 6'7", can handle the ball. He shot it well. He finished on a break with a dunk.
He had 20 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals, and 4 blocks.
I really like Miles Bird. I'm looking forward to watching him kind of progress more and more. He seems to be trying to take that next step to being one of those dudes. We got to see Magungwaf quite a bit. He played 23 minutes in that ball game. Didn't necessarily have the stats that you know you're looking for. But this is one of the things we talked with Coach earlier about,
yep. mm-hmm.
the inconsistency, and as he trying to figure out his way as a young player in this program.
That's exactly what
program.
I thought when I looked at the box score.
Yeah. So it was nice to see them get a victory against UCSD, though, for sure.
Yeah, college basketball underway. People are going to sleep on the Aztecs once again.
We'll switch gears when we come back. Kirk Kenny will join us, talk a little Aztec football, get his progress report, his personal progress report on Sean Lewis and the expectations in terms of bowl games. Is that something this program is looking at? And, of course, it's becoming a pretty consistent topic when it comes to the Aztecs and Snapdragon, the grass. What does he know? We'll get it all from him when we return. More Gwen and Chris.
To be able to start a throwing program the beginning part of the season. And again, I think we got to kind of see how he responds to the surgery and where that goes. Heard some different timelines and time frames. I know from Dr. Eletrage, it sounds like in our medical team that, you know, when we get into the early part of next year, you know, I think some conversation, whether that's May, June, July, but I think again, the big thing with Hassan, he works hard. He's a good athlete. He's going to put himself in every possible position to come back as soon as possible.
There you go. Timeline, June, July. himself.
That was for
Hassan Kim. Because we were talking about his timeline earlier on when he's going to come back.
June, July.
That's why there's rumors that the Giants are going to sign Willie Adames to play shortstop, and then they're going to have Hassan Kim play second base because it's a shorter throw for him.
Wow.
Dr. Neil Eletrage, that's the guy, too. That's James Andrews.
I've been fortunate enough to have Dr. Neil Eletrage
really?
Work on me. Yes.
Is he
fantastic doctor.
What makes him so great?
He's obviously, this kind of goes across the board for doctors, pretty intelligent.
Yeah.
He's got a swag about him. He's a very confident man. Seems like he's in the gym a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
He has time to go to the gym when he's operating on every
good
athlete
hair,
in the world?
Good hair.
Oh, you gotta remember,
this is 20...
Oh, so he wasn't as busy.
2011 to like 13.
Okay, I think James Andrews was still in
James
the mix
Andrews
at that
was,
time.
Yes, he still was the guy. He hadn't graduated to being the guy that's in every article that we read when somebody gets hurt.
It's really funny that we know like two doctors because of sports.
Yeah, it was Yoakum first. I think he was before Andrews, and then Andrews came along. And now, it's
Eletrage.
He's the guy. But you're certainly in good hands. You don't hear a lot of bad things. You know, I think a lot of times when it comes to these doctors, from a player's standpoint, you got your aggressive doctors. You got your, ones that are very conservative in how they want you to approach the rehab portion of it. But it really boils down, at least for the players that are interested in trying to make the perfect choice, you got to do your research. I know I had a sports hernia that I had to have addressed.
Painful.
Very painful. And, there was a doctor here in California that had done a bunch of them for players. Everybody raved about it. There was another one in Philly that was a lot more aggressive and did more than just the typical surgery that some guys were cool with. I wasn't comfortable with that. So I went with the guy in LA, and I feel like I made a good decision. But that came from asking a bunch of questions. I know Joe was doing this before he went to his surgery. I was talking to him about it. You ask a bunch of questions, you talk to guys who've been through the surgery and the guys who've gone to different doctors, you kind of get their feel from that, and you eventually talk to these same doctors yourself, and you kind of just put it all together and make your decision.
This is maybe a conversation no one cares about, but I think people kind of care about this because no one knows. How does that work with insurance?
You're hurt. You're hurt.
But do these doctors? So. No, I get that. I understand the payment and all that is on the team. But the team gives you insurance, or how do you have health insurance in major leagues?
Yeah,
who's paying for that surgery?
You have Major League Baseball has. Well, you asked for this. Two different questions.
Yes.
Who are you getting your insurance from? Major League Baseball has the best insurance in the world. It's super expensive.
Okay.
So when you stop playing,
you know, it's a decision to stay on that because it is so expensive to stay on once you stop playing. The other question is, who pays for surgery? The team pays for surgery.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. That's interesting. People like that stuff for some reason.
Or they don't, and you just wanted to bring it. I got some news that'll make you happy.
Okay, you go for it. I'll call Kirk.
You call Kirk, but you kind of need to hear this.
I'm listening.
Bronny James was assigned to the G League today. I know how happy that makes you, because it's no longer nepotism that he's at the big team now.
Tony, it's so. Kirk's talking to me about insurance, so let's just bring Kirk on the air right now.
Kirk Kitty joins us here. Your tribute, Kirk. How are you? You apparently caught wind of our insurance conversation there.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, who paid for your shoulder insurance?
Well, I paid for some of it, but also Kaiser Permanente paid for it.
Yeah, we need to ask Joe, what's your copay?
His copay better be less than better be more than the $20 that I pay.
By the way, while you're talking about all this, have you guys ever brought up the question, who was the second guy to have Tommy John surgery?
No.
Do you know that answer? I know you know that answer.
I definitely do, because it's a San Diegan. That might be one. It'd be great to stump Ella with that. But, well, of course,
he's not listening.
He's not listening, so you can tell us, because now I'm like to the edge of my seat.
And then a listener will get it right.
Brent Strom.
Why do I know that
name? He's now
a pitching coach.
In fact, he pitched for the Padres back in the day.
Yeah.
Went to San Diego High School, and I believe USC, and now he's a pitching coach. But it's funny because we say Tommy John probably once a week, right?
At least.
How can you say Brent Strom?
Yeah, I know we were one surgery away from calling it the Brent Strom. All right, let's talk a little Aztec
man,
football.
The whole history landscape of that surgery would have changed. We call it, man, he's going under the knife for Brent Strom.
Yeah. That Brent Strom, again, back-to-back Brent Stroms. Kirk, the Aztecs they had a tough one last week. They ended up getting thumped a little bit, but you still see some good things coming from this football team, and I say that to ask you, you know, we're all halfway through. How would you rate Sean Lewis and his staff and how they've performed so far this season?
Well, I think, you know, they've done as well as they can given some of the circumstances. I think there's been a lot of injuries, especially on the offensive line, that's probably challenge them. Also, installing a new offense, I think, takes a while to get going. But I think, you know, I tend to want to not make a judgment till the whole season's in the books, and they still have the opportunity to qualify for a bowl game if they can win three out of the last four. And this is a big game this week because, you know, they are favored in it. They will be, I would think, double-digit underdogs next week against UNLV. So that means they've got to win three out of four, and they can't let a game like this one slip away.
We're talking to Kirk Kenny here, San Diego Union Tribune, about the Aztecs. Last week they went to Boise and they got crushed by Boise State. And there was an interesting comment from one of the Bronco wide receivers saying that teams that are coming in to play them are stacking the box so that Ashton Genty will not win the Heisman Trophy. What do you think about that comment? Do you think there's any truth to that comment?
Well, they're definitely stacking to try and stop him. I don't think the coaches are going, doggone it, we don't want him to win the Heisman.
that's my thing, yeah.
I think what it is they go, well, we're not going to let that guy beat us. Let's make the quarterback beat us. And that's, in fact, what happened is the quarterback for Boise State, Maddox Mattson, had his best game of his career and threw four touchdown passes and threw for, I think, 300 and some yards. So, you know, you tip your cap and you move on.
So, Kirk, this Aztec football team, they, as you said, they got to win three of their next four to have a shot at a bowl game. They got New Mexico, obviously, this week, UNLV, Utah State Air Force to finish things off. I mean, is it how big of a task is it at this point to be able to win three of four based on what we've seen from this ball club this year?
Well, I think the Aztecs will be favored in three of the four. The only one they won't be is UNLV. Air Force is down, Utah State's down. And this game is actually, I think, the most intriguing because New Mexico's been very down for several years. In fact, the Aztecs have won nine in a row against them. But they showed a spark this year. They started 0-4, and then they go and win three straight games scoring 50 points a game, which I don't think they've ever done in the school history. So they've, and their offense ranks among the top, I think, 26 in the nation. They're averaging almost 40 points a game, but, or excuse me, they're averaging about 35 a game. The problem is their defense has given up 40 a game. So it sets up as a potential shootout.
Talk to Kurt Kenny, San Diego Union Tribune. Aztecs playing New Mexico tomorrow. And Danny O'Neill, I went to the Washington State game. I was watching Danny O'Neill, and he's a tough dude because I thought he was out for the rest of the game after he had left early in that game. But what do you think the progression for Danny O'Neill has been this year? Do you think he's getting better? Do you think that it's worth him starting as a true freshman?
Oh, I definitely think he's shown why he earned that right. He's shown more composure than you see for most kids who are, you know, just a few months out of high school. I think the Boise State game is the first one where I've seen where he maybe was a little bit sped up and didn't seem as calm, cool, and collected as he's been this year. So that's why this game against New Mexico will also be interesting to watch him and see how he bounces back after having, you know, maybe his poorest game of the season.
Kirk, when it comes to Snapdragon, obviously a lot of conversation about the surface and a lot of the sand. I mean, is this just as simple as, you know, this, they're trying to figure out what works best, or is it, you know, maybe over usage? Obviously, there's a lot of different things happening on that field. How much is it that the football team is actually talking about it, or is this just more us on the outside making all the noise?
Well, I think it's the lead up in what's happened is what's gotten football talking more about it. On top of which, that Washington State game, when you saw puffs of white sand come up after every play,
yep.
You know, that's not something you see on every field. I think there's a combination of circumstances that have gotten us to this point. Tony, you probably remember back in March, the Wave had a game where it was raining and the water was pooling.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was interesting to me, made me scratch my head because supposedly they had this state-of-the-art drainage system put in and they built the stadium about 12 to 15 feet on higher ground than Qualcomm had been. So it should have drained a lot better, you know, and now we have the issue with the turf. So it'll be interesting to see. They've had 3 more weeks to try and get it ready and get it better. I have a sense that way back in the spring, I have a sense that it just didn't root properly. And then they put in a new field at the end of September, and that one obviously hasn't taken as well as it might have. So just a kind of a combination of factors, and they've all come together in the last month.
Kirk, you were talking to me the other day about the college football playoff and kind of how the 12-team ranking is going to be a little bit more complicated in the years to come. But I thought your thoughts were interesting about the future, if you want to share them with everyone, about what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, right now the top five conferences, their winners get an automatic berth to the playoff. And that includes a group of five teams since the Pac-12 went away. But in 2 years, they'll kind of revisit some of how these things work. And I would imagine they will switch to that only the top four conferences get automatic berths, and then there'll be eight at-larges. Where this will be interesting to watch is watch which team, as we get toward the end, finishes 12th. And if it is a Power Four school that doesn't go to the playoff because a group of five schools getting that berth ahead of them, you're going to see a lot of griping. Now, if let's say it is Boise State and they're in the top 12 already in the rankings, then there won't be much to grouse about. But let's say your group of five school finishes 23rd, but they still go to the playoff, and some other school that's ranked number 12 does not. That's where you're going to hear a lot of commotion.
Does this Super League thing, I mean, not a scare is probably the wrong word, but is that what everybody is fearful of in terms of it just completely getting away from some of the, you know, a lot of the mid-majors having a shot to participate in it? Because it seems like that's another power move kind of waiting in the cusp a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I think ultimately there's going to be a separation. Does it come in 5 years or 10 or 15? I don't know. But I think at some point there's going to be an actual separation. Now, there's already a separation in that I saw a story in The Athletic the other day talking about the UNLV situation where their quarterback left earlier this year.
Yeah.
And one thing that was really interesting to me was it mentioned that the NIL money for Mountain West schools on average is between $300,000 and $500,000. Ohio State, I've heard, is playing around with about $22 million.
Duh.
Well, wow. You know, $500,000, I don't think in this day and age even gets you like a top-rated quarterback. And how you spread that among your entire team, you know, it's obviously a group of five school, if that's kind of the going rate, there's just no way of competing with those schools making $22 million. I've also heard that at Oregon, Phil Knight is ready to just write a blank check for whatever they need. Well, how do you compete with that?
You can't. You can't really compete with that. That is very scary to me, at least, because if teams have $22 million to spend and other teams don't, that's kind of weird. Last one for me, Kirk. Chris has been trying to get me to watch Columbo for a while now, and I went and I sat down and I was going to watch a Columbo. Had no idea. Tony, did you know these are mini movies?
Yeah.
I did not. I thought they were like 40-minute episodes. They're like hour-and-a-half movies. Do you have, Kirk, a favorite Columbo episode for me to watch?
A favorite? I don't know if I could pick just one. So just to let you know, why there are mini movies is back in the day in the 70s, there was like a movie of the week almost. McMillan and Wife was one of them, and all of them would last extra time, and they kind of each week took a turn on a different show. Columbo was one of them. One thing you'll like, Matt, is that they show you who the killer is at the very start. So, you know, you probably have that generation with a short attention span, so you can know who the killer
is. Oh, wait, hold on.
I knew that question would spur some information that we did not know. And there it is right there.
Although you did basically say you sold it to me like Chris sold it to me, where, oh, the murder's in the front of the episode. And then on Columbo nights, I was just wishing for a Columbo night.
Well, the other one I loved is called McCloud. It had Dennis Weaver, who also was in Gunsmoke. So, you know, there's all these connections, right?
I can't even get started on Gunsmoke.
Check out McCloud.
Right now.
That's my tip of the day.
Okay.
There it is right there. McCloud. That's your tip of the day, Scrape.
Okay.
Kirk, appreciate the college football talk and a little bit of show cinema there. I enjoy both. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Kirk Kinney, Union Tribune there. Talking some Aztec football. Yeah, man, the college football scene is
stupid.
It's chaotic right now.
You took a better word than
I think. That's the word that I was looking for, and hopefully the Aztecs, 3 or 4, man, getting to a bowl game would be a big step in the right direction. I mean, this is a team that is certainly rebuilding. They've put in a new offense, new head coach. Getting to a bowl game in your first season would be, I think, a pretty big accomplishment.
I've also heard, like, trying to keep players is becoming as much of a problem as trying to get players.
Yeah.
Because, like, for example, the Aztecs have a guy who has a ton of sacks this year. And if he continues to put up these numbers, another team's going to want him. And they're going to break, as Tony is making it rain right now, they're going to offer him some money that the Aztecs can't match, and then he's gone. And that's crazy.
That is the plight of all mid-majors that have some talent, it seems like. It goes for the same in basketball. I mean, Dutch is dealing with it already. He had three guys leave out of his that were, you know, rotational players. So
I saw some people criticizing Lamont Butler for leaving, but I don't understand the criticism. Yeah, it does, kind of.
Why?
Because he has already done what he needed to do in the Aztecs lore, and he needed to make some money. He's not an NBA player, right?
You live in a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately world.
Well, that is crazy, because he literally, I'm looking at a picture of him on the newspaper making the biggest shot in San Diego State school history.
Old news, they would say.
Fine.
I agree with you.
I remember those things.
I agree with you for the record. But
I think he got, what, like $1 million to go to Kentucky?
Bye.
Yeah. Go get your $1 million. I don't think you're going to be an NBA player.
I think everybody would have made the same decision. Get that $1 million. What else we got going? Clayton Kershaw had his two surgeries. He will be returning. I get the sense that he's going to be trying to come back in good shape before his 18th season.
You know, someone on the chat keeps mentioning that he's coming up on 3,000 career strikeouts, so that could be a reason why. I also, in my evil mind, thought, what if the Padres just poached Clayton Kershaw away? But Clayton Kershaw hasn't really been the greatest pitcher, so it might be a waste of money. And he would never do that. Do you think, Clayton, you were teammates with him?
Yeah, no, I don't
think he would ever come down here.
I don't think he would do that. I mean, listen, when you've played this long with, and this is kind of the same, you know, argument the younger version of myself was having with my father. Like, when you've been with a team that long, that's an important thing. You don't want to most guys, they get to this point, 16, 17, 18 years with one team. You kind of want to keep
finish
that.
Finish it out.
Yeah.
What about Walker Buehler? He's a free agent, too. Walker Buehler would, although he's been my enemy this entire time.
I would not mind a Walker Buehler in a Browning and gold uniform.
I wouldn't either. That would be a pretty good place to start for a starting pitcher.
He might not be that expensive, considering, you know, having a had a rough year now. He probably made himself some money back by the way he threw in the playoffs. But
get on it, AJ.
Coming off his second TJ.
Or Brent Strom.
Brent, as a pigeon coach?
No. The surgery.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, can you touch it? Text AJ in the break and just say Walker Buehler would be nice for 2025.
No, I cannot.
Okay.
3 o'clock hour on the way. Daily Gambit. Somebody had a night. We'll talk about it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.